The water goes south, it passes the Waihi Reservoir, and their plans, they have that, they can build ahead of the Waihi Reservoir up to 800 feet, which will store 24 million acre feet of water. Is, we go right down past the Biomean plant, which comes online, which I submit to you is built specifically for this, is, it's really that simple, gentlemen. It's really that simple. Now, in 1964, Governor Smalley and the whole state recognized the danger, and that's why they created this board that's before me today. They're charging them to protect Idaho water. Now, when the plan came out in 1976, the legislature reviewed it, and I don't point any fingers at anybody. That's a tremendous good work. There's a lot of work done in it. I study it all the time. But the legislature recognized that there were certain dangers in that, particularly Policy 11, which is a willing buyer, willing seller. And so the legislature passed HB 14 that gave them the legislature overview, and they took the whole legislative session of 1978 to overview this. Then they had a concurrent resolution. I was there the day that both of the houses met, and they appointed a subcommittee on every one of these policies. And if I remember right, Lawrence Carnegie had the Policy 11, and they inserted in that, as long as it does not adversely affect another water user, and as long as it does not go out of state.
Now, Fred, can you tie all this into Policy 32, which you took in?
Well, I think it all ties together because... I just haven't been able to appear before this board, and the thing is, now, your Policy 32 is before for the third reading tomorrow. At least they had the second reading today before the Senate of the 1008. Now, I'd suggest, in fact, I'd request that you contact the legislature to hold back the third reading on Policy 1005 and 1008 until after you people can give your report to them. And it looks to me like they're getting ahead of you. In other words, you're getting a lot of input on Policy 32, which is their bill, 1008. And they're going ahead without the input that you folks might or well give them on this. Is and so this whole thing has to tie together in that. And there's been a lot of wonderful work done. These people who's done that and all the supporting deal. Now, the agreement says that all the exhibits should be completed to implement, if not terminate. But also it does say that on May 15th, the two parties will get together, and I submit to you, perhaps none of them are, that if 1005, which says the legislature hereby finds, if a portion of the testimony differ, the contract entered into by the Governor of Idaho Power Company on October 25th, 1984, is in the public interest of all purposes, including, and then it goes on about the jurisdiction of the there. And so this is what we're faced with, gentlemen, is that if the vehicle is there, if the desire is there for the water, and it obviously is, do they have the power to get it? They certainly got the most power in the nation today, maybe of any power that's ever been in the world. They certainly got the money down there. And the one thing they lack, you know, desert ground without water is almost valueless, and with water down in that country, and between Arizona and Southern California, they can use every drop of this lake of water. And if anybody can show me how you, once this thing is implemented, how you can stop them. They got the Owens River water by buying up mortgages ahead of time before they ever anybody knew. And we know, we all know how, you put an ad in the paper right now and offer 75 cents on the dollar on a lot of mortgage contracts. I submit you're going to have your door broke down. And who knows? See, that's exactly how they obtain that, is we can face catastrophe. Is they want the water. If anybody can show me any way you can prevent them, if this is implemented, I've asked anybody, nobody can. So I guess that's the sum and substance, gentlemen. I think these bills ought to be held up in the House till you people have it, until these things can be. I think we've been mesmerized on this whole thing. We've had a lawsuit, and I was recipient of four of them as a defendant, and I begged the governor not to sign this, and I begged Jim Jones. I've seen Jim grow up. Jim can testify to that. known him all his life, known his father, is not to sign that thing to let me appear in court, because Idle Power didn't have a license until December of 1982. Their license expired in 1970, and all my permits were prior to then. So the proponents, in fact, I'd say over 95% of them, should never have been enjoined. And just consider what that's cost the people of the state of Idaho. I submit that not one of those defendants have got by for less than $200. So if they've dismissed 5,000, I don't know how many they had, they said 75 to begin with, and as you hold the two dells up, you certainly got the most of them dismissed. Well, this 5,000 times 200, that's $1 million that this company has caused, plus all the meetings and everything that's happened. Just the time a person spends. And they never should have been enjoined. This is to great, this terrible turmoil in the state, the consumptive use against the power usage. I've never taken a stand whether there should be so much for hydro flow for cheap power generation or so much more ground go under. My stand has always been, let's save our water for Idaho. Then decide within our own family who gets what. But the way this thing is going, they're not going to get their cheap hydro flow, because when that water heads out in that 4750, now nobody's made any motion to change the minimum stream flow at Weezer. It's 4750. You can raise your minimum flow, and that doesn't bother me. Maybe whoever set the 3300 was underestimated. Maybe it should be 39. I have no problem with that. But what I do have a problem with, they can do exactly as they did in Owens Valley, and it's the same people or their sons doing it. The very same huge 25 corporations in California have 68% of all the irrigation. 25. And that's a huge power, gentlemen. And that's what we're facing. Now, everybody got excited back in 1964 about our water going to California. And now here the way to implement it going is here. And nobody's getting excited, gentlemen. We can absolutely devastate this state if we don't stop this thing.
Okay, any questions, Mr. Stewart? Mr. Williams?
None.
Mr. Shaw?
None.
Mr. Rydell?
None.
Mr. Kramer?
None.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We will adjourn until 7 p.m. this evening.
Gentlemen, I'd like to welcome you to the 10th of 12 meetings being held by the Idaho Water Resource Board, and we'll be considering revisions to Policy 32 of the Idaho State Water Plan. And for those of you who don't know them, to my immediate left is J.D. Williams, Preston, Idaho, an attorney and mayor of the city of Preston. Jim Schauber, farmer and
with the way.
From Eden, and secretary of the Idaho Water Resource Board.
On my immediate right is Dave Rydell, member of the committee, and I, farmer from St. Anthony, and Don Kramer, immediate past chairman of the Idaho Water Resource Board. Department of Water Resources.
So one is,
we have kind of a light meeting tonight, and it's sort of like talking to my mother.
Engineer.
What we will do is we'll be taking testimony on Policy 32, and I understand we do have two people who wish to testify this evening. And so with that, we'll open testimony. We would call who?
Tom Nelson.
Tom Nelson?
The other's a zero, Mr. Chairman.
That's it? Deal.
Would you call Hanson down,
Chairman,
please?
Of the Resource and Environment Committee, to be witnessing such few folks, but we're going to give you the full show.
We had a great afternoon.
Senator, you should have been here this afternoon. Yes,
Senator. Senator, I wish you would, because I understand JFAX has cut out my supplemental request to cover you.
However, we understand, Mr. Director, that there are other monies, and we'll be talking to you about that later. Mr. Nelson.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, my name is Thomas G. Nelson from Twin Falls. I'm here on behalf of Idaho Power Company, one of the signatories to the agreement of October 25th, 1984. I think there are a couple of things that should be said for the record in view of some of the comments that have been made before the board in previous hearings. As the governor said, this agreement was arrived at between the state and the Idaho Power Company. It's an attempt to resolve certain pending litigation. That pending litigation can be resolved only by a certain adjustments in state policy, but also that the parties were negotiating that settlement. Therefore, this view of state policy is a little narrower, perhaps, than it might otherwise be. As far as the minimum flow itself is concerned, I believe in earlier meetings we've discussed how that was arrived at, but I would like to say for the record what that flow is and what it isn't. You heard some discussions today about averages. The state water plan is now couched in terms of an average daily flow. The proposed amendments that are before you are also couched in terms of an average daily flow. What we have done is put the state in a position to have a different planning number to shoot for in allowing new permits and allowing new development. This is now the new target. So I suggest to you, given what you've said in your previous plan and the way that it physically worked, this is really two things. It's both the flow and it's an enforcement mechanism. Because if you'll recall, when that number was chosen of 3,300 CFS at Murphy in 1976, the board acknowledged that that number was chosen because you had existing permits outstanding at that time, which would reduce the flow to that level if they all developed. Well, we've had a great deal of development since 1976, and at no time has the water plan minimum at the Murphy gauge been a factor in what happened to any of those applications. This agreement, if implemented, now puts the state in a position where it has to recognize that minimum flow as a part of its planning process, not only has to plan for it, but has to take steps to implement it. So I think what we've really done is put some teeth in the state water plan. And I'm not being critical of the board for not having done that before, because that really wasn't your function. And I'm not critical of the department because it didn't really have the tools to do it. But now I think that we have the tools to make the state water plan really work to the level selected. And I commend the 3,900 to you. If you look at it in a vacuum, I think it can be argued it's inadequate from one side, or you can argue it's too high from the other side. I think it's a relatively realistic number, both physically and politically. I don't think a number that's based on an absolute freezing of further development in this state is ever going to fly. I think people who want that, who think that they can sell an absolute freeze on further development, should go try and sell it. But I don't think the way to do that is to kick this agreement in the head by rejecting it and going back to war in the courts, because I'm not sure you're going to end up with an absolute freeze on further development as a result of any court action that you can file. The other comment I would make would be relative to good faith. And there was a comment made this afternoon that you need to put your paranoid hat on, because the Idaho Power Company is going to be over in the legislature chipping away at everything you do here relative to the state water plan. I'd like to refer you to paragraph 4 of the October agreement. The bullet or caption is entitled Good Faith. And the second paragraph says, the state shall enforce the state water plan and shall assert the existence of water rights held in trust by the state, and that the Snake River is fully appropriated as needed to enforce the state water plan. State and company shall not take any position before the legislature or any court board or agency which is inconsistent with the term of this agreement. And so far as I know, and I think I'm in a position to know, the state of Idaho, through the governor and the attorney general, have been consistently in support of the agreement as written, and so has the Idaho Power Company. So I suggest that paranoia is badly misplaced, that without the good faith support of the parties, I don't think we would be as far as we are in the legislature and probably wouldn't have a chance of getting it passed. So the parties have arrived at the agreement. To my knowledge, they are in total good faith in trying to get it implemented. But with that, Mr. Chairman, if you have any questions, I'd be delighted to try to answer.
Thank you, Mr. Nelson. Mr. Williams.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Nelson, I'm intrigued by this term, average daily flow from April 1st to October 31st. Now, average, does that mean for that whole period, you average the number of days and the water flows, you have to come to 39, or is 3,900 a minimum flow on any one day during that period? Because if you average it, couldn't some days you could be considerably lower than that if it's compensated for by days that have a higher flow?
Mr. Chairman, my understanding, and we have some technical people here, but as explained to me by the GS, the way they use average daily flow is, take for example, you had a gauge where you read it every hour. All right, so you would go down and you would have a reading every hour, and you would average those 24 flows, and that would be the average daily flow.
Okay, so it is.
But it's within that day. Now, the average or the lowest instantaneous flow at the Murphy gauge, by way of example, I think is in the area of 3,600, whereas the lowest average daily flow is 4,500.
I see. By averaging all the measurements for that particular day.
Yeah, that's my understanding of the way the GS uses average daily flow, as the board has used it in the water.
Some of those fluctuations may be because of discharges from dams and run through hydro.
Whether or not certain irrigation pumps are on or off and that sort of thing. Whether you've had rain on a particular tributary that day and that sort of thing.
Okay. That answered it. Thank you.
I assume we'll hear from the technical people if that's not an accurate explanation.
No, that's fine.
Mr. Shaw?
None.
Mr. Welch?
I have none.
Mr. Kramer?
None, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Did Representative Hansen want to testify? Mr. Hatch?
Mr. Chairman, members of the Water Resources Board, you just about didn't have to hear anything out of me. I just about couldn't find you. The guy upstairs was pretty sure there wasn't anything going on down here, and I said, well, I've never been to the conference room of the Supreme Court building. Would you just show it to me so I'd have an idea where it was at and what it was like for future reference? So he brought me down here, and lo and behold, here you were. I thought maybe because of the weather and everything that maybe you had canceled this evening's session, knowing that you had a pretty good turnout this afternoon. So I was prepared to just submit some written comment in case I didn't find you. But and I won't take very much of your time. I would just like to say I really don't know the nature of exactly what it was you were looking for. I took it that we were mainly commenting on the proposed changes and amendments to the state water plan as outlined in the issue of the currents. I guess you are interested in people's positions on the overall Swan Falls agreement, and I will just state for those of you that might not be aware that Idaho Farm Bureau did take a position at their annual meeting in support of the negotiated settlement, the compromise agreement that has been negotiated between the state of Idaho and Idaho Power. That policy that we adopted speaks to the establishment of the minimum flows that are being set in the amendments to the water plan at Murphy, and to an adjudication of the Snake River Basin and so forth. So from that standpoint, we are on record in support of the agreement, and we are working, of course, in the legislature to try and implement the legislative end of it. In regard to the proposed amendments to the state water plan, I don't have too many quarrels with the amendments. I would only possibly make some wording recommendation changes in a couple of areas. Don't know how amenable you might be to making changes in the wording that has been presented, but on Policy 32H, where you're recommending a little bit different wording from current policy on water quality and pollution control, I would prefer that you use a little bit closer to the wording that was in the original water plan. If you might be amenable to the idea of going back, that's on page 119 of the water plan. And the last line of that portion of the of policy 32 that deals with water quality and pollution control says the in-stream flow program is directed towards meeting fish, wildlife, and recreation needs, not to dilution of pollution. And I would urge maybe that the water board stick a little closer to that wording and just say it is the policy of Idaho that the in-stream flow program is directed towards meeting fish and wildlife and recreation needs, not to dilution of pollution. I don't know exactly why, but I just don't like as the wording that dilution of pollution is not a beneficial use. I would just prefer not to use that that wording as it's not a beneficial use of water if we can avoid it and just go back to that original wording. It's a kind of a nebulous thing perhaps, but I feel that there's some potential problems down the road somewhere if we say it quite that direct, in quite that manner. The other policy that I would offer the possibilities of a little bit different wording would be on policy 32, I guess that's I, yeah, 32I, on new storage. And I know at least one of the principal parties to the agreement might be fairly adamant on the way this is worded, but I would prefer to see it in a little bit more positive light myself. I don't like the terms maximums, for one thing. I would prefer that we stay away from the utilization of the terms maximum and use optimum. But I would just mainly like to see that that policy on new storage turned a little more on the positive note, rather than being kind of couched in a little more negative terms in the proposed policy. I would offer the possibility, and this is, being that it's probably one of the longer policies, if you aren't going to be able to take this all down, I can certainly submit my testimony in writing at a later time, although I'm not prepared to give it to you right now unless you want my hand scratching, but I would prefer if you might say, it is the policy of Idaho that optimum use be made of the existing storage facilities in the basin. That's just a little bit different on using optimum instead of maximum. And then I would go on to say new storage upstream from the Murphy Gate should be developed when it is determined that it is needed to meet new applications for the beneficial use of water in the public interest and optimum use of existing storage is being made. The state of Idaho will advocate new storage paid for by the federal government to provide for federal and Indian reserve rights quantified through a general adjudication of the Snake River Basin. Just puts us in a little bit more of a positive note on the possibilities and the prospects for future additional storage on the upper reaches of the Snake River for additional future beneficial uses. Through the appropriation process and through the possibilities of needing to provide additional storage for taking care of Indian reserve rights in the eventuality that we quantify those rights. And we'd be better off if we were in a position to go to the federal government and say, we have quantified the Indian water rights, now you have some responsibility to provide water and a mechanism for fulfilling those rights, and there is ample precedent for the Congress of the United States taking a responsible position and providing through storage or some other mechanism for providing the water necessary to meet those quantified Indian Reserve water rights. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, that would be, I guess, the nature and extent of my comments this evening, and be willing to stand for any questions you might have.
Thank you, Mr. Hatch. Mr. Williams.
Mr. Hatch, we added the words in this policy 32I down, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the seventh line, if you have it in front of you there on page 3, insofar as possible. The original proposal says after it is determined that maximum use of existing storage is being made. We add the phrase after it is determined that insofar as possible maximum use of existing storage is being made to try to take care of that problem that you
brought up. Excuse me, Mr. Chairman and Mr. Williams, and it isn't reflected in this that I have before me, I take it.
Well, we have two versions?
No, yes, I'm sorry. It does say insofar as possible maximum use of storage is made, right? I still, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Williams, excuse me, I don't like the utilization of maximums. It's part of my problem. I prefer the word optimum to maximum. But I understand that it is the intention, that it is a decision that rests largely with the director to determine when optimum or maximum utilization is made, and that it isn't necessarily to squeeze every drop of water out of a facility before you determine that maximum utilization is made. Again, I just go back to the idea that my feeling is that I would like to see the policy couched in more positive terms towards future upstream development, where my feeling is the policy wording is a little bit on the negative side towards future development. Future upstream storage.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Hatch, I want to put you on the spot if you haven't had a chance to study it, but on the second part of that 32I is the part about mitigation on offstream storage from Milner Swan Falls. Have you had a chance to give that any thought? And if you have, what are they? If you haven't, why? We appreciate the fact that you haven't looked at them.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Schauber, I guess I have some concerns about the terminology and the idea of attempting to mitigate. Mitigate's quite an open term. I guess I feel a little bit more comfortable than I would otherwise because of the language in the text below that kind of tries to define what they mean by the term mitigate, and that it isn't a direct compensation concept, that you just try to go about your development of additional storage in a manner that would have the least impact possible on hydropower production. And in that light, I can live with it, I guess. It does kind of make you nervous, the idea of mitigating impacts, because I guess you think immediately of some of the things that you've heard about on adventurous fishery mitigation projects and the costs involved. And there's a lot of things that come to your mind when you talk about or use the term or think of the term mitigate, but I felt like that the text made it clear enough what was meant that I didn't feel like I needed to comment on it. I felt, I guess, comfortable enough with it.
I appreciate it. This is the 10th hearing, and we've had quite a bit of comment about that, and I appreciate your comment.
Well,
thank you very much.
I contemplated commenting on it. But I felt like that if it's looked at in the right context and in a reasonable manner, that maybe it isn't unreasonable to try at least to minimize the impacts, if that's what you're talking about by mitigating. If you're going to try and just minimize to the extent possible, the impacts on hydroelectric generation, and I really don't see, I guess, anything wrong with that.
Thank you for your comment.
Mr. Rydell.
Yeah. I appreciate your comments on new storage after adjudication referring to the federal and Indian Reserve water rights. Would it be possible if you could submit something to us to put in the task, the texts are in this policy before the 22nd February? I really don't know how we can write it into the policy, but I appreciate your comments toward that.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Rydell, are you just saying, asking me to submit the things that I have presented to you in writing?
Yeah.
Or additional background?
No, just what you said.
What I referred to. Yes, I'll write this up and submit it to the board.
Mr. Kramer.
Nothing, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Hatch, it's nice to have you tonight. We will be accepting written testimony until February 22nd. Send that to us.
We'll get it whipped out.
One thing that we are having some problems toying with, and we've heard it all down the system, is the definition of maximum and the definition of optimum. And you seem to have had some thoughts regarding optimum, and we certainly would be very willing to read what you might have to say about a definition of optimum.
Okay. I noted, if I might follow up on that, one thing that stuck out with me on the text, and I'm not trying to pick a fight with anybody that might have been principally responsible for the wording and drafting up of the text, but in the text it refers to the there's a sentence that said it is not the intent to prove optimum use, and then it uses maximum up in the policy, and then down in the text it said it is not the intent to prove optimum use. To me, they're using the words a little bit backwards of the way I would use them. So I guess I understand what you're saying, that there's apparently not a complete meeting of the minds of what the two terms mean. But I would have used optimum up in the text of the policy, and then down in the text below, I would have said something like it is not the intent to prove maximum or to obtain maximum or something like that. I guess I would have flip-flopped maximum in one where they use optimum, and I would have been using optimum where they were using maximum. So I guess I could make a stab at what I think those terms mean in what I submit to you in written testimony.
We'd appreciate that if you would. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to testify at this time? Now we will close the hearing and open it up to questions. We only have one person here that hasn't been working on this in one form or the other. Dick, could we answer some questions for you?
My only question is, how can the Snake River, how are you approaching the Snake River adjudication basin? From around Adrian, Oregon, where it leaves Idaho and it comes back in Idaho. Is there any control the state has over the Snake River in that area?
Mr. Dunn?
No, the only state of Idaho only has control of the river within the boundaries of the state of Idaho. And the river that section is within.
Fire away. You've got the heavies here to answer your questions.
I have a
few
proposed revisions that I think
we will be accepting written testimony until February 22nd. And just submit it to us in care of the State House, Boise 83720, and by February 22nd. And we very much appreciate you coming. Thank you. Mr. Dunn?
You know, one other thing, we talked about average daily flows and the measurement of Murphy. one thing the agreement calls for is to clarify that those flows are not to be measured with any changes that might result from the releases I receive this truck. So what we'll have to do when we get to a point where we think the minimum flow might be jeopardized is measure at Murphy and measure above the seeping strike so that we know what's coming in and what's going on. That thing obviously affects the flow of what they make with their cargo.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Chairman, I think one of the components that we've heard tonight about lock solution and that solution might be couched with some of the theories of the technical people involved in some of the optimization techniques that they've taught in school and perhaps in practice. And I think that might bear out some more research on your part in determining exactly what that definition is couched in those that might be interpreting that. Three refers to. In school, we were taught to write linear regression equations that optimize certain factors. And that's a fancy way of trying to get the best use out of your water. Well, I really think you're saying the same thing. I think computers are probably bad. We do want to maximize it, but we really want to optimize it. And those definitions, from a technical standpoint, do have a difference.
I think maybe one of the problems the board may be having is when you consider optimum on one hand and maximum on the other, what might be maximum or optimum for an agricultural situation may not, on the same hand, be maximum or optimum for recreation or wildlife or hydropower. So this is something that we're trying to get a feeling for, and it's pretty darn tough when you have that many disciplines to work with. And I thank you for your comments. Any other comments? Mr. Hatch?
Yes, just if I might respond, that's what I think we were saying there a minute ago. But apparently, from a technical standpoint, there must be some different definitions for maximum and optimum that I, as a layperson, would think in those terms. And I would just submit that unless it's spelled out that these are technical terms and maybe the technical terms are defined, then I would tend to stick to lay definitions of terms, you know, because I think we're talking about a document that is essentially a lay document. And so if optimal means different to a technical person, if a water hydrologist, whatever language is referring to, then it means to a lay person, I would either stick to the lay concept or I would let
Well, there are certainly times when a layperson must seek help from those who are trained in that particular discipline also. And I think that's why the state pays people like that. And when it comes to the point that the state doesn't put the trust and confidence in those people that we have hired, then it's time to get someone new. I mean, it's, you know, I think the board is that simple.
I don't know if you were concerned with what you just said, but if we're going to use technical terms, all I'm saying is that maybe it should be let known in the thing some way that we are using technical terms and not just lay terms.
Thank you. Mr. Sherman?
Geologist. Point. We maybe wish to drop to the word best use or something like that. A point that I really didn't want to make, though, is that this afternoon Mr. Keyes was already issuing a point. And he expressed some concerns about this maximization on existing applications. And I think that the board may consider getting the sense of what he was pointing out is not the intent of the board to take water away from existing allocations. I think that may help.
Thank you. Mr. Nelson.
Chairman, I hesitate to suggest changes in what you've done because of the problem of drifting away from what the negotiators have negotiated. I obviously can't speak for the parties. The negotiators used the term full utilization, or fully utilized that. And your staff selected maximum as more definitive of what we intended, but if you remember the discussions we had at the information hearing, what we were getting at was a policy review. The state should go back, look at how water is used, what constraints exist on that water use, and says, is that what we want? It wasn't the idea that you force people to do anything with the water, but merely that you identify the constraints, identify the uses that you make, and what you have to do. Much as Mr. Keith testified about federal constraints on leasing, that you can't make a profit. Well, I've heard the Bureau say you can make a profit maybe if you put, give the profit back to the United States in terms of early payout or your obligation on that interest. All we wanted to do was force that review. So to me, the concept that is missing from what people read and what we have is reasonable. In other words, that there are no absolutes, either I think in what we intended or what you've written. So if the concept of reason comes in, I don't think you can go through and say, well, by golly, the federal government has a constraint here and it thinks this will make the best use of the water. I think you might have to make one step further and try to change it. But at some point you've done all those things, you finally realize your pick is about as far in the ground as it's going to go, and you say, okay, that's it. All we could reasonably do to make the existing system fit our needs now is go build something else. But it was our perception that those questions ought to be asked. We frankly didn't know what the answers would be when you did ask them, but somebody should go ask the question.
Is that sort of like semantics give attorneys jobs?
Something like that.
Which is good.
Mr. Chairman, I think we solved it over on this end. If the director supports the good use and opposes the bad use of water, you got it made.